Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about group coaching opportunities. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
Well, you're kind of fading in and out, but I think you said,
Hello.
Can you hear me?
So we'll go with that.
That's the part that you heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay. All right. Do let me know, and I'll do the stand on one foot and that sort of thing. I bet a lot of folks this day and age are familiar with that awareness coaching opportunity. And I was thinking, especially people who listen to Open Air, because we so regularly hear people call in, and as they're talking with Sherry, they reference what an impact having a Zen awareness coach has on their practice and what a huge support it is. So I think lots of folks are familiar with, that's available, that you can have a Zen awareness coach who you can meet with one-on-one every week and have that kind of individualized support. Not sure how many people realize that there's another brilliant coaching program, group coaching, and so we thought it was fun to feature that and have you talk a little bit about that practice opportunity.
Oh, I love it. And the group coaching is so very helpful in the sense that it takes what we do in individuals in awareness coaching and adds the element of group to it, you know? So we still have a practice commitment. So that's a basis of the individualized Zen awareness coaching, and and the in midweek email check-in that is sort of an accountability way to support people to if you totally go unconscious midweek I got to get here and send in my email check-in, so at least you know you're going to be conscious once in the week. And then you take the practice commitment and the midweek check-in and then the call where you still get in group coaching, you still get one-on-one with the facilitator, but then you get to listen and plug into a group of others, probably usually around seven other people. We try to limit the groups to eight and get to hear what they're also looking at around the same similar content. So the content being the topic for the group coaching session.
Uh-huh. And there's been all kinds of different topics, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. There have been several a lot. Let's see if I can throw out some of the titles. We've got our With the Mentor series. So it's I'd say jokingly, it's not really an official series, but it's like Walking with the Mentor, Working with the Mentor, Meals with the Mentor, Conversations with the Mentor, and those are like...
Mornings with the Mentor, I know, was a big one.
Yeah, Mornings with the Mentor. And those are ones that are specifically have... a component of cultivating that relationship with the mentor through recording and listening. Now, one thing I want to stress about group coaching and coaching in general is that it's really foundational. I mean, it's about recording and listening and developing that practice. I mean, you can't participate in coaching without really utilizing that tool in a big way. So it's sort of the bedrock of the whole program is... To use and develop that tool. So those are some of the...
And if I can ask you a quick question about that, Rebecca, if someone were listening to this and saying, gosh, that seems like a neat opportunity, would they have to have an established recording and listening practice, or is that offered through the series?
They would not have to have an established recording and listening practice. They would have to be willing to establish a recording.
Yeah.
It's like for those, it's not an optional part of participating in the program, in other words.
Right.
It's a requirement.
Not, hey, if
yeah.
you feel like recording, go ahead and do it.
This would be a really good thing to do. It's like, no, that's kind of a part of it. Yeah, you show up for the call.
Yeah, that's such a good
recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's foundational really to all of practice, right? It reminds me of, forever, if you have an individual guidance appointment on retreat, the guidance has been, if you don't have a recording device, then you don't have a guidance appointment. for the very reason that, I mean, the likelihood that we're going to go unconscious, at least at some point, if not for the majority of that guidance appointment, is really, really high, just because conditioning is going to want to take us away from that amazing opportunity. And so that's true for all of practice, right? I mean, the campaign that the voices are on to get us to not actually be present to it is huge. And so, you know, coming across the tool of recording and listening is what allows us to actually receive practice. And so no wonder something like a group coaching session would require that tool, because we want the practitioner to actually receive it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that is a perfect sort of setup for, the recording and listening plus the practice commitments, those two together deliver a 1-2 punch to conditioning in a way that I just don't know what else can, you know. And that's that to me is the power of group coaching, and coaching in general, but specifically for group coaching, because those practice commitments, let me see if I can, they're like our best friends, really. We make a commitment. So let's say it's the mornings with the mentor group coaching. I'm going to make a commitment that every morning I'm going to get on the recorder and have a conversation with the mentor, maybe, let's say, using the two-handed recording exercise. So there's my practice commitment. And I know that for these 4 weeks, that's my commitment. I get to see when I don't do it and how ego may talk, well, I'm running late today, or, you know, I'm just so tired so I got to bed late and I'll just do it later. Or, you know, whatever it is, the practice commitment is like the line in the sand that we have chosen to draw. And because we've done that, we get to unveil ego's antics in a way that we could never have done if we hadn't drawn that line in the sand. And then we've got the recorder there to further reveal it, to further explore it. So those two together, I just are such a antidote to the usual bamboozles of our day that I think therein lies the power of group coaching.
Boy, that's so well laid out, Rebecca. You know, and what I just saw as you were saying that was why there is that added powerful element of doing it in a group, right? Because so without that line in the sand of the practice commitment, conditioning hides in plain sight. You know, it's camouflaged all around us. It's just, it's the water that we swim in. We draw that line in the sand, and that begins to bring it up into relief, pop it out so that we can actually see it. And then what I think is so powerful about, you know, being in a group discussion, group coaching, in a retreat, especially around a particular theme. So, you know, it's around eating, or it's around exercise, or whatever it is. Then we get to see, wow, this is not personal. People are saying things, but I could have said every single one of the things that everyone on that call said. And to realize, oh, gosh, that just, to me, that gives it that extra step back and gives me that realization that it isn't about me. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong. It's not that anything's wrong with me. This is how the system goes. And it gives me that courage, that willingness, that support to persevere, to have my life instead of to let it have it.
Yes. Oh, precisely. Because, see, that delivers the last ingredient that's necessary to do this, which is to get free enough of self-hate so that we can actually do the work. And by doing it in a group and making sure and making it clear that it's not about me and that I'm not, you know, the worst person in the world because I, you know, overeat at meals or whatever it is, you know, everybody struggles with this, then that can keep the self-hate at bay so that we can actually do the work, you know. And it's just such a beautiful process of sangha and of mutual support that I can't tell you the levels of inspiration I've enjoyed from participating in these group coaching sessions. It's just so amazing.
So amazing. And in the same way that we benefit so much from seeing each other reveal conditioning's antics, I just saw too in what you were saying that there's always one of us that's got clarity, right? I was looking today for myself at that process of like, wow, this was so clear 10 minutes ago, and now suddenly it's all cloudy again. But in a group situation, there's always someone who's coming forth with that amazing insight, the thing that I needed to hear, that just clicks it back into place for me. So it's such
Absolutely.
A great process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so we do have actually a one group coaching offering that's available now, and information will be sent out various ways. But it's I think that one is Mornings with the Mentor. We have one coming up that's already filled called the Joy of Eating or Joyful Eating and Eating. And you know, and then we offer them periodically throughout the year. So it's always good to just keep an eye on the website of the 2017 programs under group coaching, because they appear there first, and then we usually send out texts and sometimes an email. But they do tend to fill up fast. So if people are interested, and it's never a bad idea to visit the website regularly anyway, but just to keep an eye out on your tweets or in your email or on the website for those offerings.
That's great. That's good. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for laying that out for us. It's really a beautiful opportunity.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. It seems like I haven't talked to you in 2 or 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Can I trust my feelings? Is that really what happened?
Yeah, I was just calculating myself. I think it has been 3 weeks. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Craziness. You know, when we're, especially when we're back east, as you know, the Project Joy calls in the morning, we were able to do because we had the experience that the East Coast folks have, which is we could have it at lunchtime, but open air is just not a deal because it's just truly at the wrong time for a retreat. So I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too. And I'm glad to be back here, and I'm glad that this show is not dependent on me. Practice is bigger than me, and it's great.
And me! Yeah, we disappear, and people just pick up the reins I was going to go with, but just take over our job, and life just goes right on. It's just very heartening.
It is very heartening, and it helps me to see how much great clarity and talent we have in practice, and what a joy it is to be a, quote, follower at some point, and other times have different roles, and it's just fun to show up and do my part.
Yeah, exactly so. Participate in whatever way life needs us to participate, and sometimes life offers us the, just go have some quiet time in a pretty place and practice a little on your own, and that's very nice, too.
Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I heard wonderful things about the retreat through folks calling it Project Joy, and so that's fabulous.
Yes, it seemed to be a real hit. So, yes, I'm hoping, in fact, I guess you heard, I think it was Lori say, maybe we'll have it several times this year. It is a great retreat. And so I'm hoping that people who hear that, we don't pay those people to say those things, right? So that's just spontaneous enthusiasm. And so I hope people will make it to Pennsylvania. And in fact, two or three of the people in North Carolina told me that they were planning to come to Pennsylvania and do it again in September. So
great.
Yeah. It was good.
Great. Fun. Wonderful.
Yeah. I gave away one of the announcements, didn't I? But you can do it again. It's okay.
Well, yeah, we're not announcing September yet. So.
No. Okay. Okay. Good.
RL Training is a six-week conference call retreat for teaching six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer. And two new classes start June 5th and June 6th.
Wow. All right.
Yes, as we just heard about from Jen and Rebecca.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats offer an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. The next retreat is June 10th through 17th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
It is a powerhouse. It truly, anybody who is serious about this practice, along with recording and listening, which we just heard, got to do that and got to do that retreat because it just makes all the difference in a person's life. So.
Yes. Yeah. And I think Jen mentioned that during their conversation earlier, that when we can see past the self-hate, you know, we actually have a chance to have some clarity. But if we're still believing the self-hate, then there's just no chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly so. Hey, Michael, can I ask you about something before we go on? The
sure.
thing that's starting June 5th and 6th or whatever it is, that's not group
yes.
coaching, is it?
Oh, good point. I think I may have confused those.
I kind of stumbled over it because I thought, I didn't remember that's what the gal said. But
yes,
so,
my apologies.
Okay.
Yep. I think I'd confused those. Yeah, so the classes starting June 5th and 6th are the RL training.
Uh-huh. Which is an equally fun process growthful for deepening the RL practice. Good. Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Those dates were rocketing around in my head, and, you know, I never trust myself. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing that up. Because the next announcement is Mornings with the Mentor is a group coaching program in which participants will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Mm-hmm. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. And this four-week coaching program starts June 28th.
All right. No, so somebody could actually do both of those if they were really...
Yes.
Yeah, really wanted to get grounded.
Yes, yes. Now that you've clarified all of that, which is great. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And put yourself in the queue. And a five-minute conversation that is focused on one topic is great.
Right.
Okay. Are you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael. This is Emily calling from Oakland.
Well, hello, Hi. Emily.
Oh, I'm so, so grateful to be here and to be speaking with you. Thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad you made it. I had that little moment of, goodness, Michael and I are going to be talking to each other for the next hour because technology has failed, but here you are.
Here we all
Very
are.
Exciting. Mm-hmm.
I'm calling because yesterday morning I was listening to one of the archived episodes and the awareness arose that it's been a while since I've called in and I wanted to call. And immediately, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate said, you don't want to do that. And that was really a mistake on its part, because what that did was to shine a light on the original impulse that this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do to feed my heart. And so at that moment, I made a commitment that I was going to call in and put myself in the queue, whether I got through or not.
I love it. I love it. What's so funny about that is it meant, I don't want you to do that, right? But, of course, it knows that's not a good technique. So you don't want to do that. And we're meant to be unconscious enough that we don't hear it, but you were right there, and you heard it.
And I think it's because it was around something related to practice that it was so obvious that it had overstepped. You know, there are other areas in my life where it probably would have fooled me.
And yeah, so or other areas maybe where you were just not, you wouldn't have been paying such close attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you were in practice mode, which really argues for us getting in and staying in practice mode so that we're here and we do hear that kind of stuff. And we do have that kind of clarity.
And I think that I'm so profoundly grateful for the year-long retreat. Project Joy and the daily calls are really so, so valuable for helping to keep an ongoing throughout the day focus. And it's making such a difference.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I years ago, when we first opened the Zen Center in Mountain View, I had this fantasy of being able to have the center open in the afternoons and to just have anybody who wanted to come in, and we would sit and, you know, be in the mind of meditation and have a conversation, and everybody would participate in it. And of course, it never happened because it physically, that's a really difficult thing to do. You know, people are wherever they are during the day, and to get to a place like that. And so this daily conversation is really a dream come true for me, because we can do exactly that. We can get together every day all over the world. We can get together and practice together in a way that just really keeps us focused. So we have so many practices that we offer, right? So in theory, people could be doing that every day, but there's something about live and being together that is a different kind of support.
It really, really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, deep gratitude, deep gassho. Thank you so much, and I will continue participating.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you, and I'll look forward to us talking again before long. Maybe in the morning.
Maybe
Go
in the morning.
Happy. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Well, hello, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, and I can't wait for that retreat. I'm definitely signing up, too.
Oh, good. Very good. Well, we practically come to your backyard, right? So we would have a hard time not having our feelings hurt if you didn't show up.
Yes, it's true.
No
I'm
pressure.
Very, very grateful. No pressure, yeah. No, I wouldn't miss it, and it's been fun to hear how fabulous it is. I'm so excited for that. So, yeah, I'm just so glad for everything, for all of the amazing chances that we have to practice. And I was listening. Well, a couple of things. I realized that actually I teach Tuesday nights, but I'm done in time that I could be listening to Open Air Live. But I have not been doing that. I've just been listening to the recordings. And I just kind of got like well, that's a bamboozle. Why am I not? What else would I be doing? You know, that's what I want to be doing. So I got here, and then what happened? I was listening to the Good News update, and I was seeing some things, and it was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll call in to like Project Joy about that. And then it hit me, you know, I could unmute tonight. I'm here. I could be, you know, in the queue now. Why would I wait for some, you know, alleged other call that I may or may, you know, like it was just so crazy, the bamboozles that were going on. So here I am, really grateful for that.
Yeah, having the common theme of in the future, right?
So it's future,
which is a really good bamboozle to bring to our attention, because it's not like you're not going to do it. I mean, you listen to the radio show, right? And you could call in the well, not morning for you, but it to Project Joy. I mean, you're gonna do that. So it's not like, you know, it's not like there's any problem here until you realize, wait a minute, we're not living in the future, we're living now. So let's do this now.
Exactly. And I thank you for saying it that way too, about the in the future, because I think that really encapsulates. So I've really gotten a little pulled under, I don't know, maybe even in the last day or so, but really, really pulled, like, you know, back to like some really, you know, really rough places where the voices are so in your face, and so this is all helping me to come out of it. And a couple of things that I was seeing is, it feels like there is a lot of, you know, making a lot of life-affirming choices, doing a lot of things for the heart, and so then conditioning, you know, looking for those other ways to get me. And I just, one of the things that I saw was like, oh, it's just taking, so all that energy is opening up, and then it's getting the energy, but I'm believing that I want to, you know, do that. So sometimes it's like just, you know, like overeating and surfing on the internet and, you know, just those things that seem so innocuous and seem like I really want to do them and they're going to feel really good, you know, in that moment when I'm identified. Yeah. And then I feel lousy incredibly quickly. Yeah. I mean, I have been lured into the cave of hell so quickly, but I just got it like, oh, you know, the energy has been available. So that was the way to just quash the energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this getting out of the future and getting into the now can really be a doorway for you, right? So you're going to eat this, you'll eat this stuff, which is in the future, right? You're gonna surf the internet, which is actually in the future. When you're put in the position of making that decision, not that I think for a second you're conscious there and present and making a decision, but, you know, we get talked into this, and it'll be enjoyable. It'll take care of you. It'll feel good. It will feel good. It will out there in the future. And so what you're seeing is when that conversation is going on, if I stop and get to, no, now, what do I need right now? Not to be promised something that's going to make me feel better, but what do I need now? And then the energy is yours.
Well, exactly, and that's the other place where the future thing comes in, because I see, too, that I've been falling for this thing of, like, which I fall for a lot, so I guess more recordings to hear it. It's familiar, but, like, you know, I'm so behind, so what I need to do is, you know, get up really early and just start working, you know, through the day to try to, you know, finally be the right person and on top of things. So it's promised that, you know, in the future when I'm on top of things, whatever that means, you know, then I get to feel good. And then I get to actually, like, you know, enjoy a really nice, healthy meal. Then I can go for a walk. Then I can do all the things that take care of me. But today I'm just going to do, like, you know, 10 minutes of stretching, and that's it. You know, maybe it's 5, actually. I mean, it's like everything, like I'm allowed to do just a little bit, but it's super condensed because I don't have time to take care of myself.
Because you're on your way to being the right person.
Right.
You're on your way to being, which is going to happen in the future, certainly not now.
Yes.
We know that
because
you're
not
on top of everything. Yeah.
Right.
And it's just such a load, isn't it?
It is. And then I'm so vulnerable. I mean, after, you know, even a couple of days like that, when I'm, you know, not doing the things that take care of me and that I enjoy, then it's like, it feels like my only chance at happiness to overeat or surf the internet because I'm not getting any other happiness in that system. You know,
right.
It's like, oh,
yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, Jen, the thing that, for me anyway, that helps is to chunk it down. So when that's happening, so I kind of come to and I realize, wait a minute, you know, I've fallen for that bamboozle because I'm getting talked into overeating or surfing the internet or doing one of those behaviors, and to have something really concrete and specific to go to instead. The retreat, the fear retreat that we just did, I don't know if you've heard us refer to it, but one of the retreatants used this image of going and sitting on the couch waiting for life to drop in what to do next. And that became code for, you know, get into the present, get still, and listen for what life is going to drop in for you to do next. So for you, you know, it could be something like, I'm just going to roll out my little mat and I'm going to do a couple of simple stretches as I'm being present to what life is offering me for the thing that will truly take care of me. Anytime you come to. Do you see what I mean? Did that hang together?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So if there's the realizing, whoa, here I am, you know, overeating or on the internet or, you know, doing stuff that is not, so then to just grab the mat.
Or even being pushed.
Yeah.
Even being pushed. You can't stop because you've got to, no, you can't do that because you've got to get on top of this. You've got to, you know, any time that urgency or that sort of thing starts, then you just metaphorically sit down on the couch or roll out the mat and stop.
Whatever, yeah. Okay.
Stop.
And just
until you can hear the guidance for what will really take care of you.
Okay, yeah, I love that. I can get a sense of how, you know, crazy that will make conditioning. It's always like, you know, well, you don't have time for that. I mean, it's the you voice, too, but it doesn't matter when I'm it's so hard to...
When you're identified and believing it, right.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But it's such a con that it's even gonna help. Like, allegedly, that's going to, you know, help me finally get caught up or whatever. But actually, it gets me to that state of, like, exhaustion where then I'm wasting time surfing the internet doing things I don't even want to be doing at all. I mean, it doesn't, it's not helpful. So I'm going to record about that I can see that what's helpful is to stay with life and to approach it
just
that
stop.
Way.
Just stop. And that was the thing about sitting on the couch. It wasn't just, you know, sit on the couch for 5 seconds and then jump up and do the next thing. But it's really sit there and breathe until you're clear. And then, of course, that is just a nightmare scenario for egocentric trauma conditioning. Right?
Yes.
But it's salvation for us. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I have my assignment.
Thank you for
being there, everyone. It's so amazing. You and Michael and everyone. I'm so grateful that I didn't believe
I
needed to wait until some future call that I could call tonight. So thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Remember to treasure yourself.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. That was a great conversation, Sherry. And I realized I've been getting a story about I don't have enough time to meditate because I'm so busy at work. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that when I stop to sit, there's kind of a lot of moving parts at work and a lot of stuff going on, that when I stop to sit, that I get the key information that I need for work.
Yes.
It's just so ironic.
the story is I don't have time because I'm too busy at work. And yet when I sit down, I get the information for work.
Yes, exactly. Exactly so. Yeah. So it's not like you're going to sit and then, okay, now you're 20 minutes or a half hour, whatever it is, farther behind because, no, you've got clarity, you've got focus, you've got your next steps, you're right there. You're far more productive than you would have been listening to those voices about be distracted and crazy and worried about everything you have to do.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. Love it. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in the Bay Area.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
What is going on with you?
Well, I've had a really interesting experience with practice that I wanted to share with you and just to see if sort of looking at the next step of what I wait for life
what
to come
heck?
In. I thought, well, I can ask for guidance too. Last week when we were practicing with gratitude, I had noticed before that this was Project Joy. I had been sort of taken off in the fog, but it happened really slowly over a few days, and all of a sudden I was like, whoa, let's get back here.
Yeah.
So with that practice, what I did is I just set the alarm each hour to stop and give thanks for whatever was in front of me.
Nice.
And that was just wonderful. And during the day, I went on a bike ride, and during that ride, all of a sudden something dropped in from retreat, the last retreat I went on, that you had provided guidance on something I had come up against and said, you just keep inviting it, so to speak, just sitting and waiting, for that to come in. And it did on the bike ride. And I stopped. I'm bringing up the gratitude part with it because it seemed like that brought the consciousness that allowed the space for this to happen that day. And so there I was. And what dropped in was what I had faced at retreat as clear as a bell. I mean, it was quite amazing. And it was a belief system that I had just assumed was part of me and sort of came down to they should know better, meaning anyone on the outside, when I would come up against, fall into that, which meant the same thing was going on internally of I should know better.
Uh-huh.
And it was like dropping a tremendous weight and yet knowing it's not over. I've just seen it, and now it's inviting it in to be conscious of it whenever it comes up and to see it for what it is. So I guess I just want to share it and see if there's any other guidance, because you in group you had said, we can do the two-handed and drop something. That doesn't mean that it's not still there if it's, a karmic inclination. So,
two things occurred to me about that, Jan. One is that karmic conditioning is not interested in you using that clarity to drop this permanently, right? It's just going to kind of cruise around on the edges until maybe it can take you back into that fuzzy place again, and then boom, it'll try again, which for us is very exciting, right? Because we want to see all of the ways that it's able to do that, right?
Uh-huh.
The other piece of it is to see how that process works. So you're inviting it in with the, with the expressed wish to see it for what it is so that you can increasingly be free of it. And so for you to stay with that commitment or that wish or desire or however we'd want to talk about it, to just, I still keep a calendar, an actual paper calendar, but you could do it on the computer or however you calendar, but go out, for the rest of the year and every other week put something on your calendar that just refers back to how are we doing with, what this issue is. Where is that showing up? Am I seeing that anywhere? I'd like to see it wherever it shows up, whatever reminds you of that. And keep that portal open so that life can continue to deepen your understanding and to see subtle ways, right? So you've seen one way that it shows up, but there are other ways that this is a part of your life that I'm sure you haven't seen yet. And you want to, and so just to keep it kind of at the front of your conscious awareness.
Yeah, so if I'm hearing you right, it's taking that intent, the wanting to see it,
yes.
wanting to see all
yes.
its yes. iterations. And,
yes,
and
exactly.
And it, including it in the calendar and all other places that are my reminders of where my focus is going to go or where I
yes.
want my focus to be.
Yes. Yes, because actually Rebecca did this thing at one point in group, I'm pretty sure it was Rebecca, was talking about there's an insight, there's an insight. Imagine stars in the sky at night, right? So there's an insight, and then over there's an insight, and then back there's an insight, and then there's one there. And they just show up as insights. But we have no idea how they go together or if they go together. And we go along, and we're aware of those, and we're kind of keeping them in our awareness to the best of our ability until one day it comes together, kind of like you described on your bike ride, where suddenly the pieces coalesce in a way that results in one of those big transformative moments, right? And so that will continue to happen with this. And you'll begin to see increasingly, here's my prediction, how this one fits with other ones. So with that first image, there's a little kind of a spot of light and a spot of light and a spot of light. And then when they come together, they make a pretty good sized light. But over the time that you've been practicing, you've been developing a lot of those lights, right? And they begin to come together. If you can picture all this, can you
yes.
stay with me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. then there's a larger light and a larger light and a larger light, and then you see, I see how that goes together. Right now, it's really getting lighter. And we just keep going that way until we get to the point where we've actually lost interest in the content of any of it, and now we're
yeah.
just watching it in fascination how the process works, how the process goes together.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you laid it out that way, because what you just described has already started to happen, but I might not have recognized it for that. Because it was the content that seemed to fit with other content, or how to say it, where suffering had come from that same place, the process of suffering. And while this had a certain, a content label, it that light you're talking about sort of made it clear that this doesn't stand alone, by any means.
Yes.
It's the thing that lately has been causing the greatest suffering.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and you're ready to take it on because of the work that you've done with the, the smaller lights illuminating your process to the point that now you can see this bigger one. So it's such a, I mean, you've been practicing for a long time, so you certainly know this, but as a point of encouragement for anybody who's new to practice, if you were hit with this 6 months into practice, it would have been overwhelming.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
couldn't have done it.
No, and I have to say that when it dropped in on the bike ride,
uh-huh.
I saw just that. It was so big. I mean, I had to stop. I felt like I should just get down on my knees and say thank you. But, it was so, the insight was big enough that I knew, wow, I guess I was ready. I mean, that's sort of how it came in.
Yes, precisely. Which is such a beautiful example for all of us of exactly how compassionate compassion is. So if we use compassion as a synonym for life, which I think is a very good pairing, then we see how perfectly compassionate life is for us in every way.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I guess the last thing I would want to mention is just this practice that I could, if this practice didn't point to process, it wouldn't have happened. I just don't see it happening. I don't think it could have been seen. But we practice with process, and it allows, I don't know how else to say it, allows everything to be revealed when we're ready, as you said.
Yes. Yeah. It's just marvelous. And, I mean, we say these things. Somebody was saying, I can't even remember who, but was saying, all these happy people, please. beyond that, even if you are for real, how do you get there? How do you get from suffering to that level of happy? And what you're describing is how. Just one step at a time. We just sit on that couch, and wait for life to give us the next kind, compassionate step for us to take. That's all we need to do.
Yeah, well, just such tremendous gratitude for being able to see, accept, and take in what was causing, has been causing for a long, long time, tremendous suffering. And in seeing it is the ability then to let that go.
To let it go, yes, to let it go. And what you said is to then find not just the willingness, but a level of excitement about where else is this? What else needs to be embraced in compassion and let go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somehow, I keep saying this is the last thing, there's that sense, that knowing that there's much more to see, and that is thrilling.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jan. Great conversation, Sherry. And I get it that sticking with the program is really helpful.
Yep, it's all that's required. It's all that's required for anybody about anything. It's not just true with practice.
Yes.
Right? It is how we are constructed and how life is constructed if we just don't quit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to break now and hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Stefania.
Hey,
can you hear me?
How are you? Yeah.
I'm good. It's been weird. I tried to connect on the computer, and two times I think the line, I couldn't figure out how to make it work. So I feel like it's a weird day today because for three times I was able to talk, and it never been before. Anyway, wow. Yeah, exactly. Listening to the past two conversation, I had some energy moving because I've been having very strange experience with record and listening, especially. Like I've been using my phone to do record and listening, and at least three times in the past 6 months, I had to delete all my recording because the phone couldn't allow more space, and
couldn't put it on your computer.
You know, I have a family with kids and stuff, and I didn't know if, I mean, part of me, I feel like I don't listen too many times back to the older one, even if sometimes I do, but I felt like it wasn't as much private in some way. So I felt like it must be a sign. And I was trying to see, you know, the inside from that thing, you know. The importance of it, at the same time, the let go of the whole experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was weird because, as I say, more than once. Yes.
Can I give you a little tip about that just for the future? So one of the things that I find particularly helpful, in fact, I was just recording this morning and I said to my recorder, you know, I think I'm going to start practicing differentiating between, you know, when I'm just going to go on about whatever, you know, just chatting along with the mentor, and when I have something actually that I would like to remember. But one of the things I like to do periodically is listen to my old recordings and just jot down the really important insights, the things that you know, we were just talking about it a little bit with Jan. You know, the things that I want to remember to focus on that. I want to remember to do that. And so I just make a big list of those, and then I make a recording of that, and all those other ones, if they have to go, they can go, because I have the salient information for myself. So that might be something to try every, 5 months, since they only last 6. You get all of the significant things for yourself, and the rest of them can go when the time comes.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I was wondering how, again, to me it was some kind of a encrypted message. And I was like, why? I mean, it's so weird. Anyway. That's one thing. But in general, understanding the message of life has been a big challenge. Has been a big challenge in the past few months. And I I had this fear, and in fact, when I heard that you were doing this retreat about fear, but it's kind of too far away in the East Coast, I hope it's going to come in the West Coast. But fear is a big, big emotion recently, and I'm trying to understand what am I fearful about, a part of my mind that makes up a lot of potential catastrophic situation, and if I actually decodify those, I feel like, well, they're probably, you know, the same that they were a year ago. If nothing changed, you know? But I have this constant feeling of, be afraid because uh-huh. then what, right?
Well, I have a suggestion, just a place yes. for you to look, because mm-hmm. fear is ego, ego is fear, right? And fear is how ego controls us. Mm-hmm. So when you're afraid, you're going to be looking to conditioned mind for direction. That's just how we're conditioned, right? And so fear is the fastest way for ego to shut somebody down and to get them back in control.
Mm.
Yeah? Makes our lives small. We're nervous. We're anxious. We're worried, kind of looking over our shoulder. And again, looking to conditioned mind for guidance. How can I be safe? What do I need to do? What do I need? That sort of thing. So I don't know if that fits with your experience at all, but.
Oh, definitely. It makes everything smaller and, yes, anxious and everything. I just, I'm trying to figure out how to get out of it. I was listening before, and I do agree about like stopping sitting on the couch when I feel like I know the surfing on the internet is going to make me more tired. So trying to stop a second before I click the computer could be definitely something I'm going to work on.
And listening to more recordings, not just making recordings, but listening so that you have recordings that are reassuring you, that are giving you good information, you know, what you need to hear to know that you're all right, to give you the kind of strength and courage, the support that you need, not to fall into listening to those voices and letting them make you afraid. You need to have those recordings and listen to them regularly enough that fear-mongering system doesn't take you over.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
You know, Stephanie, it's just like with your kids, right?
Yeah.
So one of your kids wakes up in the night and is frightened, has a nightmare or whatever. What are you going to say to help that child know you're all right, you're okay, it's fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to hear that too.
Yes. And actually, that was funny because that was actually one of the more recent one. I always like to call people when I'm have to do a longer drive. And then I was like, but I really want to talk to me. I want to talk to my mentor. Uh-huh. And so I did it, and I was like, wow. I really felt appreciation and
there you go.
And closeness to myself, and I was like, wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you know what the experience is. Now it's a matter of repeating that, and you know that the voices in your head are going to do everything they can to stop you from doing that.
Yes, and they do.
They want you focused on them as they talk about gloom and doom and awfulness and fear and terror and horror and all of those things. Yeah.
And I think it just started in February. I went back to Italy for 1 week, and I was doing well. And I remember talking to my friend and kind of a coach, and I said, you know, I'm doing well. And he said, so what did you do to feel better? And then I said a few things. And then since then, it's going downhill because I kind of open up myself. And I think the voices, not the voices, the conditioning just sneak in. And he said, uh-huh, you think you're doing well, right? And then they just start crashing me down. And yeah. I think it was a downhill since then, like the fear of doing well.
Uh-huh. That really sets the ego off, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Plus other things, the bad thing that, yeah. Plus, unfortunately, a few other things that happened to people that I know close to me that were terrible. Health problem, huge, big thing. And I feel like I'm in a little road and there are big bomb falling down the sky and they hit my friend on this side, my other friend on the other side, or a family member, and I feel like, sooner or later they're going to hit you. That's this feeling of as if life is really trying to avoid the bomb instead of enjoying it. That's my feeling.
And that's it, isn't it? That image is perfect because there are bombs, right? Mm-hmm. Things do happen. And so for me anyway, and what I think practice is about, is getting to the place where we know that something is going to happen to you. Something is going to happen to people you care about. It is. We know that. It's happened to everybody who has ever been born, except those that it hasn't happened to yet who are, you know. But there's a whole history of humanity, and it's happened to every one of those people. So it is going to happen to us. So how do we make peace with that? How can we enjoy life and feel grateful for the time that we have? Love as unconditionally as we can, everybody who passes in front of us, because it is going to end. The bomb is going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah, just give me one drop of wisdom. How can we make peace with those bombs hitting all the time?
Well, the way that we do that is to live completely as we can, in the present.
Mm.
Because this is the only moment we have. If we leave this moment and we start listening to those voices, worry about what's going to happen in the future, then we lose everything. We lose this moment, we lose that moment. Okay? Mm. So to know, and it is a knowing. And I think that's what awareness practice is about, is deepening that sense of connection with life such that we realize this is it. We want to have an open heart and love unconditionally because we know it's going to end. You know, you're Italian, and so good food, good wine, you know, this is the Italian gift to the world, right? And and when you're enjoying a beautiful meal, you wouldn't idealize it lasting forever because you know it's only so wonderful because you're hungry and it tastes so good and you're present for it, right? And it's exactly the same thing with every aspect of life. It's the brevity of it that makes it so precious.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Alan Watts used an image of the most beautiful piece of music, the most beautiful musical note in the world would become torture if it didn't end.
Mm. Yeah.
And so to be there, right, to be there for it and to live it fully, to take it in with every fiber of your being and know that you have experienced life so fully that when it's your time to go, you'll just go with a thank you.
Mm. And
to me,
without
where that practice is. No regrets. Yep, not even wishing. I mean, yes, you know, that kind of smile that says, yeah, I you know, I'd love to do this forever, and I'm complete.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And without
and
a duality.
That's what practice is. Mm. Yes, that's what we practice. That's what we practice with. We practice letting go of all that fear and anxiety and worry and getting here, living in gratitude, living in love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank yeah. The thing about it is, the thing for us to realize is, it doesn't happen overnight. It's like, you know, another image in Zen is you walk out in a mist, you know, a fine mist. And, mm-hmm. and if you walk along long enough, the mist, fine as it is, will penetrate all of your clothes right down to the skin. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this understanding, this awareness is like. You know, it's just a slow transformation that takes us from worry and anxiety and fear and regret and guilt and moves us into a place of unconditional love and boundless gratitude.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for joining us, Stefania. Wow, Sherry, that was a fabulous conversation. Super
good.
Helpful.
Yeah. Good. Yeah,
yes.
It was for me.
I mean, this is it, and it's beautiful, and we're all here, and I feel so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to end. And it is.
Right
it
now.
Is, as sure as we're here. It's going to end. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we don't want to miss
Thank
a second.
You, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Talk with you next week.
Bye.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay, bye-bye.